producing over 500 hours per week of talk radio. GCN Live is a world leader in talk radio. Archives for the following program can be found at GCNLive.com.
Attack, attack, attack. That's the name of the game when it comes to this coalition and ISIS. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. That's where we begin. Also, at the UN, the president takes the floor, getting ready for another big day at the United Nations with so many countries in New York City. It's about the coalition in the Middle East and the coalition, if you will, of a different sort at the United Nations. First, to what's going on with ISIS, a very, very big day with the French in the thick of it and part of the attack, the Arab nations as well, continuing to fight the Islamic State alongside the U.S. They proclaim that they are in it for the long time. Syria says we don't want another fiasco. Plus, a well-known terrorist they believe is dead, the Turk, nicknamed the Turk. So, more air attacks, more air strikes, if you will. They say that the group plotting attacks against the United States and other Western targets, the Khorasan group, was taken out in the latest airstrikes, which is huge. Syria also, while that attack was going on and the Turk was hit, Syria warned that the U.S. has to be careful not to do a part two like Iraq, as I mentioned there. So a very big day with the news that the franchise in Syria was struck because these were the group supposedly planning many attacks on the West. The plot, which even they had found apparently evidence of videotape and whatnot, the plot potentially against the West, against the U.S., involved a bomb made of non-metallic device like a toothpaste container or clothes dipped in explosive material. And this was going to be bombs concealed on airplanes. That was another option that was being looked at. The Khorasan group left behind some details on what they intended to do. So because of a possible concern over backlash, the U.S. Department of Homeland Security has issued already, I heard this earlier in the day, a bulletin warning law enforcement agencies to be on high alert for lone wolf terror attacks here in the United States because of the airstrike, some of what I just described to you there. So what does that mean? What are they going to do? They're talking about scrutinizing all points of entry. They're talking about looking at social media because they believe this will be a tactic used by ISIS to spread the message and push for violence, kind of like tripping a trigger, if you will, socially for people who are already involved and in the United States. Because the fact that, among other things, taking out the Turk was huge. Abu Yusuf al-Turki, also known as the Turk, was huge in the organization linked to many, many killings of innocent people in the West. So the thought is, and they're still trying to prove it, that he was in one of the targeted airstrikes. He was there. I heard from a Pentagon source that when they started the airstrikes on Tuesday morning, they knew they were going to go back in, and they had been planning strategically, which makes sense, some of those places they were going to hit based on intelligence that they had gathered on the ground, knowing that there was a good chance that they were going to hit people like the Turk. So this was a big campaign that's only started, and already one of the key elements they were looking to eliminate has been eliminated. Obama met with officials from five Arab nations who make up the coalition that we've talked about here on a previous show, and said that there were some strong agreements in the group that the campaign was going to be a long one, and they were also in it for the long haul. Everyone at the table agreed that sometimes you need to take a stand. These are the few bits and pieces that we're getting from the meeting the president had with the five Arab nations. So it's interesting in looking at, and there has been some video that's been released of the airstrikes of the targets on Syria. And I've said this before, we said this on a previous show, but the airstrikes have been coming in waves. Some of it involves our ships firing missiles into eastern and northern Syria. The headquarters, the training camps, the combat trucks and tanks and anything else they have. So they're hitting places like the combat areas, or the combat tanks and trucks and the things that I just mentioned and the training camps. And then they're hitting other strikes in clusters where they plotted out on the ground the intelligence they had as to who was where. Interesting that this operation starts with the flurry of Tomahawk missiles launched from our ships, followed by attacks from bombers and in the air from fighter planes. And all of this all pieced together by this coalition. In all, they also dropped pieces of ordinances by coalition members, letting them know what's going on. 150 weapons, they say, were used. The United States fired 47, if you want the specifics, 47 Tomahawk missiles, 8 of them against the Khorasan group. First time the U.S. also used F-22 Raptor stealth in this battle, in combat. It's a stealth plane. Before, they had problems with that plane. This time, they've corrected them. The number of casualties, we don't know. Central Command says the targets damaged or destroyed ISIS targets, including the fighters, some of that I just mentioned, the compounds, and all the other things in between. How about that? The Syrian Observation and Rights says at least 70 ISIS militants were killed and more than 300 were wounded, and we've just begun. We've also just begun to scratch the surface here. Luke Vargas was at the UN in front of this General Assembly. He tells us what went on next here on America Tonight. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas Resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risks of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
City today, no doubt about it. That's where we start with Luke Vargas from Talk Radio News. Luke, I'm sure that you really burned up the shoe leather talking to a lot of different people, and it was pretty exciting stuff, I think, coming out of the UN. The big thing was the president, who was talking about especially meaningful to him the climate change, and that's part of his that was part of his agenda. Do you think that he really hit the target, so to speak, when he talked about climate change?
Well, I think, you know, again, to pull back, we're talking about the UN Climate Change Summit, which was sponsored by Ban Ki-moon here. Just to keep it broad for a second before I go to the president, we had 135 world leaders come to the United Nations, but the representatives from pretty much all the UN member companies showed up, but we did get 135 heads of state, which is pretty spectacular turnout, just to think about it, because, you know, we have the General Assembly begins tomorrow. The president will speak tomorrow, as well as I think it's about 35 other heads of state. But to get them all in one building at the same time on talking on one subject is pretty extraordinary. But at the same time, we were expecting, and the Secretary General was hoping for these leaders to come and give concrete, actionable pledges for what they're going to do to combat climate change. Everyone's expectations were a little different for the United States. The president spoke in a different part of the day's agenda than the rest of the world leaders. He was stuck in there with China, who were sort of the people the two countries that people were really looking forward to the most. And what the United States pledged was very different from a lot of countries. A lot of smaller countries were more concrete. They talked about new emissions targets. They talked about certain financial donations to this climate fund that would help poorer countries adapt to climate change. The president seemed to be going on stage to talk more about the moral implications of not acting on climate change. He did, announce an executive order that we heard about earlier in the morning, which is aimed at helping to steer international development dollars through USAID only to projects that, factor in climate change. It's not a terrible, it's not a policy with, terribly large implications, but it's still meaningful. That said, it's you don't look for the United States to be saying the same kind of thing at a conference like this. The United States is going to be very cautious about playing its hand too early. We're not going to announce our climate change targets until we know what China is going to do, until we know what India is going to do. And for that, we're going to need to wait until probably the first quarter of next year. But I think the president did what he needed to do. A lot of world leaders seem to be very receptive to his comments. And look, even if the U.S. isn't announcing new commitments, he pointed to a lot of progress that's been made just since the beginning of his presidency. So maybe the expectations aren't quite as high for the U.S. at this particular moment.
Yeah, didn't he say there was some of what he outlined was this partnership plan to meet carbon reduction goals by, as you're talking about, these timelines, where it's like, what's really tied to it? By like 2020, I think, is the date I kept hearing.
Yeah, there are benchmarks all over the place. It's funny, I had a spreadsheet open and it got almost unusable, let's say, after about an hour, because everyone is, there were tons of targets and I wrote them down and they were very tweetable and you want to circulate them and pass them on to the public. At the same time, it's comparing apples to oranges. You say Ireland wants to cut emissions by 80% by 2050. Well, what's their baseline? It could be 1990. It could be 2005. People are setting 2020 dates. They're setting 2040 dates. It's all over the place. So, the U.S. did not revise its climate, GHG, greenhouse gas emissions targets. Those stayed the same. The president's saying, look, I'm very happy with the goal we've already set. We're not going to change that. But the announcement today on the American side, a little more partnership on technology, helping to share information that American government scientists get with other countries, as well as this what's called the Climate Resilience International Development Initiative. Again, only, sending international development money essentially towards projects that factor in climate change.
Yeah, the big thing, of course, is ISIS and the Syrian strikes and what we know and what seems to be missing in that conversation. Who was consulted and was the UN consulted beforehand? Did you find any of that out?
I didn't find it out. I wish I did. I didn't have the scoop to be able to do it. But what we have figured out is pretty interesting, which is that the United States, using UN Ambassador Samantha Power, did contact the Syrian government last night. She reached out to her counterpart, the Syrian ambassador to the UN, Bashar al-Jafari, telling him, look, U.S. strikes are imminent. Immediately after we launched those airstrikes within Syria, Samantha Power sent a letter to the Secretary General. This is basically something you're supposed to do as a Security Council member immediately after executing a strike like that. He said, we did this. Here's why we did it. She cited collective self-defense as well as basically saying the areas we hit were only areas where the Syrian government does not have any control anymore. And what I found very fascinating today was that the Secretary General, Ban Ki-moon, in the middle of a press conference about climate change, I believe it was about forests at the time, interrupted that press conference to just sort of read out a statement about the airstrikes in Syria. And I found it pretty fascinating. He essentially gave a pretty tacit, acceptance, a tip of the hat towards the United States for doing this. He applauded international efforts in recent weeks to confront the Islamic State and other terrorist groups. And he cited this precise argument that Samantha Power made, saying, look, this is, you obviously need to make sure you don't hit civilians. You need to try and follow international law. But these strikes were done in an area where a government didn't really have control. So I kind of give it my blessing. And I think that's pretty fascinating because, on one hand, I love climate change issues, and I wish that this extraordinary summit could creep onto page A1. And I do have to say, I think, you know, because of the timing of these Syrian airstrikes, this climate summit has really been pushed pretty far down the headlines. What has happened, though, is that in the run-up to the General Assembly, which starts tomorrow, and all these world leaders are here, the U.S. seems to have played their hand pretty well. It was looking rocky the last few days. Whether or not John Kerry was going to be able to cobble together enough allies, particularly on the Syrian side of this mission, our support really looked pretty weak by all accounts. And then the timing of this strike gets the world's attention. Ban Ki-moon sort of seems to give it the A-OK. And we are now learning more and more about the international partners that the U.S. Counted on here. We've been told that a number of countries, including Qatar, Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Bahrain, and the United Arab Emirates, all participated to some degree in those airstrikes. And now, tomorrow, Turkey will give their big General Assembly speech, a country that has been pretty reluctant up until now to join the U.S. fight, and I would, you know, condition my reluctance by saying they've just said they're not going to do it at all to help this coalition mission. They're now sort of up against the wall. People say, look, you guys are so much a part of the problem. We need your help here. And I think by getting that somewhat of a seal of approval on the international law side of things, there might be more countries coming forward in the coming days at the General Assembly pledging support to this mission. The timing seems to have been pretty excellent.
Yeah, I agree with you on the timing thing. And lastly, where would we be if we didn't have hot mics and David Cameron with a hot mic and people are talking about it? I know all over England they were talking about it. What happened? What was said?
Well, this was pretty brilliant. Of course, last week, David Cameron avoided political disaster for himself and for all of Great Britain with that Scottish independence vote failing. He apparently was talking to Michael Bloomberg on the sidelines of today's climate summit at the United Nations, and some microphone picked up him saying, quote, he's referring to Queen Elizabeth here about her apparent anxiety about the outcome of that independence referendum. David Cameron said, quote, "You purred down the line. I've never heard someone so happy." And then he goes on to say that he wants to try to sue the polling companies that had all these results a few weeks ahead of the vote, showing that the pro-independence camp might win. He told Michael Bloomberg he wanted to sue him because of the stomach, sue these polling companies because of the stomach ulcers that he caused him. I thought that kind of redeemed himself, but you can't escape that swipe at the Queen. I think it's funny, but boy, nowhere is safe for these world leaders.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, Luke Vargas, General Assembly. I'm sure you got to rest up for that. Thanks so much for coming on America Tonight, as always.
Sure thing. Take care.
Bye-bye.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective. Great minds think alike. The network for the independent minded. The Genesis Communications Network. GCN.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey Guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey Guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey Guy.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document? Worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average over 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
The human body is extraordinary. Despite all the stresses we inflict upon it, it still works hard to stay in balance. Thousands upon thousands of people rely upon Heart and Body Extract to help their body stay balanced. This excellent 100% natural herbal formula helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels, cleans arteries, promotes good circulation, balances cholesterol, and more. HB Extract, paired with healthy lifestyle choices like good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free of pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of HB Extract. It's extremely effective and it starts working in just days. Visit HBExtract.com to learn more and to read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers. And we've never increased our price in over 10 years. That makes Heart and Body Extract as great a value now as it was the first day we sold it. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Call 866-295-5305 or go to HBExtract.com.
Stuff, as I mentioned at the top of the show, mixed in the fact that these plots against the U.S. have been found out. I've talked before about my source at the Pentagon talking to me about some of the things that actually were happening. You know, we keep hearing about this. There's this threat, and really the concern is over the lone wolf terrorist, somebody who gets fired up and wants to get involved with the Islamic State or whoever the terrorist group is of the moment, and that is ISIS. And it's pretty scary when you think of some of the things they were going to do on planes and how elaborate some of these attacks were. Now, everything hasn't been released, and I think a lot of the thing with the explosive clothing and all of that, we've seen before that this was something that was attempted, remember, the underwear bomber, but now supposedly they've perfected some of that. And I love the fact that they realized that how the Pentagon was gathering this information, and it was pretty clear they knew that ISIS had just been allowed to fester even more in the 2 years where we had a chance to arm some of those Syrian rebels and maybe knock down some of this. Because at this point, ISIS not only has raped and killed and slaughtered women and men in some of these villages in Syria and Iraq, but they've also executed 250 Syrian soldiers. I mean, they really are armed with machetes, black hoods, and an attitude and a black flag. And they'll do whatever they want, whenever they want, depending on the mood they're in on these towns that they hit. So this group is more than an imminent threat. A bigger threat, perhaps, than a lot of people actually knew. So now we're in this for the long haul, without a doubt. And whatever that long haul is, we do not know. We don't know. There is no end date to this now at this point. We're just becoming aware of some of the targets that have been hit, other than the obvious ones going after compounds and training camps. But who was hit, and how deep does it go? Hopefully pretty deep, because to cut off the head of this snake, it's going to take a long time. I agree with that. It's going to take a longer time than most people are going to be able to tolerate. And it's too bad that this flashpoint is at this point, where it could have been a couple of years ago, and perhaps not as deadly. Perhaps not as much money would have been raised for ISIS or ISIL. And at this point, they're at their peak. So the realization is pretty clear that it is evil versus good. What do you think, America? If you want to throw in your two cents, you know you can do it 24-7, 855-266-5283, 855-266-5283, Jack in Australia. Hello, Jack. What are the Aussies saying?
What are the Aussies saying? Well, last night at about 7:45 p.m., a young man who had been part of a street gang in support of ISIS tried to stab in a terrorist attack two police officers at a police station about 60 miles away from my home.
Wow. Oh, that's frightening. So that's what people are talking about.
Mm-hmm. Now, the alleged terrorist, a Newman Hadia, was invited by one member of the Australian Federal Police and a member of the Victorian State Police to come to the police station, not because he was going to be arrested for anything, but to have it explained to him why his activities, including a threat to the Prime Minister and the Chief of Police for the State of Victoria, had brought about the seizure and revocation of his passport. He met the two police officers out front of the Endeavour Hills police station. About 10 seconds worth of conversation took place from what I've been told. And he then lashed at them, stabbing the federal police officer several times. He is still in hospital in serious conditions, and stabbed the Victorian police officer allegedly twice in the arm. He was then shot once by the Victorian police officer.
Wow. Boy, that is scary.
Now, Mr. Hadia has been linked with a local pro-Islamic and pro-Sharia law youth street gang that have been ramping up their violence in the area over the last 3 to 6 months.
Yeah, so obviously, again, they're trying to also recruit, it sounds like.
Well, yeah, this particular street gang drive around the Dandenong and Never Hills area, which has a very, very large Islamic community outside of Melbourne. And it's in the southeastern suburbs of Melbourne. And they fly around basically dragging the Australian flag from the trunks of their cars while, you know, having a pole up with the ISIS flag. And this is how they drive around the Australian streets.
Wow.
So, you know, this is just 60 miles away from my house. Now, I don't know if I told you a few weeks back, I had a couple of young, well, not so young, but younger than I was, Islamic gentlemen turn up at my door wanting a donation to build a mosque in my area, and got rather verbally hostile when I basically told them that where they could stick it.
Yeah. What do you tell your kids about all this? Are they asking questions? Because you have some older and some younger.
Look, the Diaper Patrol are too young to understand, but my two teenagers, and I really worry for my eldest, because he's just about to move out of home and you know get his first place with his girlfriend. He's going off to college next year. You know, I really worry about him, because the place that, you know, when you're a young first year college student, you don't have a lot of income, and the only places that really fall within his budget are in communities where these groups are growing. So yeah, he's very aware of the problem. He's also aware of my background. In fact, he was the one that came out to me late last night to give me the heads up that this had actually gone down, and I spent the morning out in Endeavor Hills getting the skinny on it for you.
Wow. Well, thanks for that update, Jack. Be safe, and that is scary stuff, just like we're saying these plots in the United States that could have unfolded, and the more details we get, the more I think that they, and I've already thought this, they need to blow up every piece of ISIS they can possibly find. Anything with the Islamic State, they need to go after it, and that's what's happening, and that's why the Arab nations have jumped on this, because even they're worried about what's happening in the Middle East and how it can spread close to them. And obviously we're worried about the tentacles. Look what Jack's saying, that's going on in Australia. Dan in Texas. Hello, Dan in Texas. I think he has a hot mic, like David Cameron, the Prime Minister of England. Are you there, Dan, in Texas?
You owe me a joke. You owe me a joke.
I owe you a joke.
You promised.
Are you kidding me?
You
I promised
me
I would tell you a joke.
If I called tonight, you would have it for me.
All right.
All
I
day
do.
And all night.
No, I do. I do have a joke. I mean, I have a really, really good joke, but I know I can't tell it on air, but I have a funny joke. I mean, okay, I'm going to tell you this joke. What do you call a bear with no teeth?
Gumby?
A gummy bear!
I was close. Okay, now I'm going to get into my diatribe. I listened to our beloved president today talk about we were responsible for global warming, and then I listened to a report from the L.A. Times about how somebody that's big in the atmospheric and all that stuff, and a special report out of Washington State at the university there, has found out that the reason for the warming on the west coast of California in the United States is due to winds. And over a period of 112 years, the water temperature and air temperature has only climbed 1 degree. Global warming, oh my God. This is a joke. And for Monkey Moon to come out there and try to give Obama clearance, this is a joke. This is a meeting of the Dictators Association of the UN, and the majority of them are slums or thereabout, and they're just scum. The sooner that we get rid of them, the better off. As well as get rid of the ones that aren't country. We're going to have the same thing that Australia is going through if we don't do something about it. And just go ahead and have some attacks on this country. I guarantee you we'll have some people say, okay, damn is right. Oh, another thing. One more thing I was going to tell you. Remember, I told you the stock market was going to have some problems. Well, I heard a little report from Noel Ponte. No, idiot in the world of finance. This is the man that knows what he's talking about. He says the world's billionaires are stockpiling their cash of $600 million or better in cash to weather the upcoming storm. After the election in November, we're going to have all hell break loose with the stock market. We're going to have little fits and starts between now and then, but after the election, it's going to go down the tubes.
You know what, Dan, I agree with you. You know that I watch what's going on financially. I don't know if it's going to go down the tubes, sink like 2008, but it is legalized gambling, and I agree that there's going to be problems after the election, too. You can see certainly some of the warning signs. Speaking of warning signs, we'll talk about that next.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
September is National Preparedness Month, so make it a September to remember by getting your emergency food supply from the Freeze Dry Guy. On sale this month are 2014 Stew Butter and Potatoes Unit. You'll get one number 10 can each of high-quality Mountain House Chicken Stew, Vegetable Stew with Beef, Pilot Crackers, plus the highest quality dehydrated ABC Stew. Butter and Potatoes for a total of 160 one-half cup servings. Retail value $161.41, but not this month. The Freeze Dry Guy offers the 2014 Stew Butter and Potatoes Unit for only $123.93. Save over $37. Plenty of protein, veggies, carbs for energy, and tasty, hearty, storable food with a shelf life of over 25 years. Call 866-404-3663. Free shipping to the lower 48 states. Click freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com. Hurry! The National Preparedness Month sale ends September 30th from the Freeze Dry Guy. The finest freeze-dried and dehydrated foods available anywhere for long-term storage.
We've been patiently waiting. Waiting while you tried to ignore us. Waiting while you acted like we didn't exist. Waiting for our chance to be taken seriously. The wait is over. GCN is available 24/7 at GCNlive.com. Navigate through news from your favorite host and download archives of past shows. Download the app on your smartphone or tablet or visit GCNlive.com for instant access and live streaming. GCNlive.com, the future of talk radio. Now at your fingertips.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Picking up where Dan left off, bravo to the Los Angeles Times, by the way. I got to give them credit for some of the news that they broke. A new study comes out. They released some of the information from it, and this comes out from the University of Washington's Joint Institute for the Study of Atmosphere and Ocean, talking about changing winds have an explanation that's very different from the whole warming thing that we've heard year to year and decade to decade. James Johnstone is the name Dan actually was trying to think of, an independent climatologist. And I woke up to this morning, just this one little piece, and I thought, that fits for We Can Count. So this study found that weakening winds accounted for more than 80% of the warming trend along the Pacific Northwest coast between Washington and Northern California. Now, in Southern California, weaker winds were responsible for about 60% of the increased warming. So here's the upshot. If global warming had been the most powerful influence, and this is according to this research, on land and sea temperatures, the temperatures would have been different. So the study's authors are saying most of the warming in the region occurred before 1940, when greenhouse gas concentrations were lower and winds were weaker. Now, you look at that and you contrast that, and that's what they did. That's what you do in independent studies. And that's why I say kudos to the LA Times for publishing all of that. And they say, in contrast, winds have strengthened since 1980 and coastal oceans cooled, even as the rise in greenhouse gases have accelerated. So the study focused on trends at the regional level and didn't offer conclusions about the naturally occurring winds on warming throughout the world. But it does change some of the things that we're talking about with these temperatures and proof and information and all of that. And even a climate scientist at the National Center for Atmospheric Research in Boulder, Colorado, a guy who's been quoted a lot lately, especially, Kevin Treenberth is his name, says that the conclusions about long-term trends were probably overstated because the quality of the information from the early 20th century was poor and unreliable. Poor and unreliable. And the conclusion is, they say, it might reflect the fact that the Northeast Pacific is absolutely an area of the globe where past studies have shown the signal of climate change is relatively low to the noise that's going on. So how about that? I think that is, again, very different from the stories that we keep hearing. And that's the deal. There's always two sides of things, and often we're hearing the piling on of one side of science, but not the other. So now some of these independent studies and other things that have been out there are starting to circulate. And they're from, especially the first scientist I mentioned, is absolutely, I mean, is absolutely authentic and, if you will, decorated with awards of all sorts and whatnot. So certainly not any kind of a guy who is using trickery or whatnot to come up with the conclusions that he's come up with. How about this with a survey? Jumping to something a little bit different. There's a survey out that says the support for legal weed has actually dipped, would you believe it, by 7 points in the past year. So that whole idea of everybody wants to get high might not necessarily be true. The 7 points in the past year means that it goes from 51% in 2013 to 44% today. This is the Public Religion Research Institute that asked this. They asked about the intensity of support for or opposed to legalizing marijuana. The year overall drop in support was concentrated among those who favored marijuana legalization last year, but not strongly. So opposition increased greatest among those who strongly oppose it. 7 points. 7 points. And here's something that should shake you up. Gosh, can't we keep anything that is just American and owned by Americans? I just read this from the other coast. The Washington Post did a story about American beer. And they say American beer has an identity crisis, a global identity crisis. Domestic sales of light beer fell again. Imported lagers and wines climbed. So the biggest beer brands in the United States, think of what they are, Budweiser, Miller's, Coors, are now owned by people in Belgium, England, and Canada, not by Americans. The nation's two most popular American-owned beer brands, what are they? Corona and Modelo. And where do you think they're brewed? Let me say the names again. Corona and Modelo. They're brewed in Mexico, of course. In Mexico. Who would have thunk it, huh? I don't know. Not me. I always thought that, again, you started with the American beers, and then it went from there. And sure enough, it's a whole different deal now. And, you know, part of that is because of the drop in sales, right? the drop in sales, and what they can actually get. For example, Oasis is going to partner with a company called TSG Consumer Partners to buy Pabst for about $700 million from billionaire food industry investor C. Dean Metropoulos, who bought Pabst for $250 million in 2010. Well, I say that's a good investment if he's going to get $700 million. Much better than what's going on with the stock market, right, as previously was discussed. But the announcement of Pabst's sale to Oasis, which brews a lot of Russian brews as well, and soft drinks and juice, was quickly painted as an American portrayal, as an anti-American portrayal. So much for American beer and the red, white, and blue. Maybe it's a thing of the past with other beer makers from other countries coming in to snap it up. And I'll tell you one thing. I talked to someone the other day about whiskey. And think of Kentucky. Think of Kentucky bourbons. Jim Beam and Maker's Mark. Bought in January for $16 billion by Suntory Holdings, the Japanese whiskey giant. Yes, it's true. It's a global economy is the only thing that came out in the press release, if you remember that. So much for American spirits and beers. Oh, my. No crying in your beer, by the way, if you were just listening to what I was saying. I mean, it's like everything else, I guess. We are for sale. And that includes all kinds of companies that you really didn't think would be for sale. Let's, you know, put it that way. All right, let's go back to what everybody's talking about, the water cooler buzz. It fits in nicely, quickly, here in We Can Count. Remember those planes that we had problems with, the F-22? I briefly brushed across it when I opened up the show. The problem-plagued Raptor took part in the first combat mission. That's a big deal. There's your big number one. On Monday night, hitting ISIS targets in Syria. What was the price tag for those puppies, those jets, do you remember? They were seemingly in development forever, actually decades. $412 million each. That was triple the expected costs. So finally, we get a few of those F-22s moving for us. The Air Force acquired only 188 of them from the aerospace maker Lockheed, and they don't plan to have any more produced. That's wise. Thanks for listening to this hour of America Tonight.
The Big Berkey Water Filter.
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.